Well, it's that time. We, the Bridgeport family, have lived in Savannah for about a decade now. We say we're from Savannah, but many actual natives don't think so. Our grandparents weren't born here, and back further, our ancestors might have been on the wrong side of the Civil War. They weren't. But they were living in other countries with other problems then, and participation in either side would have required more energy and interest than they had. So I don't have the perspective of a native, but I do have 10 years of experience. That's provided me with some insight. One of the differences between then, when we moved here, and now is the approach to celebrities. When we came here, Savannah didn't see many. The book festival brought in some writers for a few days, and the music festival brought in musicians for about the same amount of time. One of the Allman Brothers lived in Richmond Hill. Other famous people did come here, but they kept it quiet when they came. They weren't here to be adored. They were here to get away from all of that. Before I came here, I lived close to an urban area where celebrities and celebrity wannabes clustered thickly. I went into a hardware store one day and squatted down to pick up some screw sets out of a lower bin. Since I wasn't visible at eye level, a very famous man tripped over me. Now, this is someone they're still writing books about. He glared at me, and I glared at him. I was tempted to make a remark about his exceedingly ugly Robin Eggs blue suit, but decided to let it go. That's how famous this man was. He went to the hardware store in a suit. Savannah then was celebrity-deprived, and that was different for me. Savannah wasn't even on the way to anywhere else. Okay, if you're driving from Jacksonville to Charleston, you might make a pit stop somewhere around our airport. But that's nowhere close to the city center, and I doubt many celebrities drive their cars from Jacksonville to Charleston. And at that time, it was true even of scheduled appearances. The Civic Center was the venue for performances then, so I looked up the acts that appeared there. The Georgia Bridal Show was a regular, and a subset of the Barnum and Bailey Circus made an appearance. If you attended that, you might have won a picture painted by an elephant. There was a cheerleading bowl and a baton twirling championship, a stage version of Beauty and the Beast dropped by. You get the idea. Well, all that has changed pretty significantly. The first crack in the wall was filming the movie version of the novel The Last Song here. Not only would a movie be shot right out there on Tybee Island, but Miley Cyrus would be in town. Going from adept baton twirlers to the star of Hannah Montana was a heady trip. The newspaper printed pictures of children with adoring signs and tears in their eyes, just waiting for a glimpse of her. Their parents had that stunned mullet look. Fleets of large, imposing trailers camped alongside the Breakfast Club. Excitement was in the air. Well, how can you possibly follow a visit by Hannah Montana? We did it with a visit from SpongeBob SquarePants. 10 years after his first movie, SpongeBob decided to do a second and decided to film it here. I don't remember the celebration being quite so intense as for Hannah Montana. For all that matters, I don't really remember any sightings of SpongeBob in the flesh or in the cellulose, I suppose. But I do remember a portion of Bull Street being transformed with a rather peculiar shade of blue on all the buildings, and I remember the fishing pier on Tybee being outfitted with planters that wouldn't blend with anything, well, Carnival in Rio, perhaps. But the planter soon disappeared. Both movies were financial successes, and more of the movie business had Georgia on its mind for filming. We heard about studios and Pooler and some other dreams, too. Well, I won't go into the events since then, but there have been several. Robert De Niro was spotted outside a restaurant during a break in filming. The Rock and Zac Efron were here, not to mention David Hasselhoff. The film industry has discovered the area, and that cannot be a bad thing. Our usual St. Patrick's Day weekend brings in something around 2 million visitors. The parade itself clocks about 500,000. They're here to celebrate spring and St. Patrick's, and those two things seem to require alcoholic drinks in large quantities. Savannah has an open carry law for such drinks, so visitors and residents celebrate relatively unencumbered. Now, in 2018, Mike Pence decided to witness the event, and that didn't go so well. Pence is not the first person you think of to inviting to a beer blast, and he brought with him a cadre of Secret Service agents who have a professional attitude about jollity. Because he's known for his rather restricted social views, a number of people who don't like Pence showed up too. The combination led to a 12-block no-fly zone in the center of town. People could enter that area as long as they promised not to have fun. Some celebrities carry enough baggage with them to become nuisances. Well, I don't mind sharing Savannah with celebrities. Lucky for me, because neither David Hasselhoff nor anyone else consulted me before they arrived. It might even do the town some good. I do mind when they come to town to be adored and bring with them the public relations crews and glitter that accompanies those who crave adoration. When I look around me, I see many people worthy of esteem. They live here right now, and they've never been on the stage or in movies. They haven't even run for any particular office, and they don't care whether you know the inner workings of their minds on any national issue. If you want to see people worthy of emulation, make a wide detour around confetti and balloons. Savannah knew that in the past, when it was all cheerleading competitions and elephant artists. Now that we're getting a more notable class of entertainer, I hope we don't forget it. I think we might even be able to pass the attitude along.